Okay, so we're still very much in the midst of our complicated sugya of a Baskoyin, which definitely goes on for quite a while still. It's a complicated sugya, very, very complicated sugya. So we're on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. We're going to try and explain this as clearly as we possibly can. On Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, it's about the 10th very wide line. The first word on the line is Midrova, Midrova. Last word on the line is Ain. So now you'll remember we learned the lengthy brisa, and the Gemara is going back now to consider various parts of the brisa which needed explanation. So one of the parts of the brisa that we learned, but it definitely needs explanation, is if you remember, the Gemara said that I would have thought for some reason, and this needs to be explained, that maybe this only applies to a Baskoyein who's married to a Kohen. But if a Baskoyein is married to a Yisrael or a Levi, or worse still, married to a Mamza or a Goy, etc., etc., then I would have thought that maybe the Halacha of Sreifa should not apply. So, Kamash Malon, we learn from a Pasuk. There's a special Pasuk to teach us that nonetheless, the normal halachas of a bas kohen applies. In other words, she gets sreifa. So the question was, and this is what the Gemara is going to discuss now, Rashi already alluded to it, why in the world would I have thought that it depends who she's married to? It's true. We know, we've already discussed this at great length, we're definitely talking about a bas kohen who's married, either an arusa or an asua, not a pnuya. But who she's married to, surely it doesn't make a difference. Why in the world would I have thought that it makes a difference? So this is what the Gemara is going to discuss first up. Says the Gemara, Bas Koyin. You have that line in the Gemara? Begins with the word Midrov. Bas Koyin. Ein li. I would only have known. Elosh Nissus comma. I only know that that's applicable in the case of where she marries a Kohen, but Nisus Lelevi, Lisrael, Loivit Kichovim, Lecholol, Lenosen, Lemamzer, Minayin. How do we know that even if she's married to somebody else, not a Kohen, how do I know that the same halacha would apply that she would still get Sreifa? Talmud Loimah, so we have a special pasuk because it says, Ubas ish koyin. Ubas ish koyin. Afal pi she'enoi kohenes. Even though she's not a kohenes because she's not married to a koyin, but by virtue of the fact that her father is an ish koyin, that extra word ish, that teaches us that the minute her father is a koyin, that suffices. That is a quote of the Braisa that we have already learned. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Mishum. Just because de'insavu, just because she's married lahani, just because she's married to these other people, lav bas koyein he question mark, is she not a bas koyein? What was the hava amina? If you need a pasuk to tell you that even when she's married to these other people the same halachas apply, it means the hava amina was to the contrary. Apparently, the hava mina was that were she only to be married to a non-Kohen, then the halachas of Bas Kohen do not apply. Why? She's still a Bas Kohen. Just because she's married to a Yisrael or a Levi or even a Goy or a Mamz, whoever she's married to, who in the world cares? She's still a Bas Kohen. Question number one. Question number two. Vesu. Midi. Koyhenes le koyin ksiv question mark. Does that say anywhere in the pasuk is any hint of the fact that this koyhenes we're talking about that she's married dafka to a koyin? So firstly, she's a bas koyin. So who in the world cares who she marries? And secondly, where is there any remez in the pasuk? Where on earth do you see Where would I have a minna that it's got to be that she's a kehenes married to a kohen? Why would I say such a thing? Have a look at Rashi on the first very wide line. Lav bas kohen hi b'tmiya. As a question, lomoli ish. Why do I need that word ish? Yaseira l'rabuye. Why do I need that ribuy? Why does the Torah need to go out of its way to tell me an extra word ish to teach me that even if she's not married to a kohen, nonetheless the halachas of a bas kohen apply? Why on earth would I have thought otherwise? Number one, she's still a bas kohen. Number two, there's no remez in the pasuk at all that it's got to be a kehenes marrying a kohen. So what was the havamin? So the Gemara answers, but let's make a brief introduction to the Gemara's answer. We know, I think we've discussed this in the past, a kohen is allowed to eat truma because he's a kohen. A non-kohen is not allowed to marry, is not allowed to eat truma. But the kohen's family are allowed to eat truma. His wife, his children, they're all allowed to eat truma, even his daughters. What happens when she gets married? When she gets married, so it depends who she marries. If she marries a kohen, well, obviously she can still eat truma by virtue of the fact that she's now married to a kohen. But if she marries anybody but a kohen, if she marries a Yisrael, then she loses, as it were, her kohenes status, even though she's a daughter of a kohen, but she's no longer in the home of a kohen. She's now in the home of her new husband, who's not a kohen. And if that's the case, she cannot eat truma. That is the halacha. Now, what happens if, following her marriage, her husband now divorces her or dies, and she goes back home? So the answer is, now that she goes back home to her father's home, she once again can eat truma. Because she goes back home, she's become once again, as it were, a member of his household. Of course, it doesn't depend on where she's literally living, but she's now reconnected to her father's home and she can eat truma once again. So we see that we can have somebody who essentially is a kohenes, she's a daughter of a kohen, but she can lose that status by marrying somebody that she's who's a non-kohen, even though there's no aveira whatsoever. One second, Nachum Geller is just calling me. Hi, Nachum. What do you mean, the waiting room? Okay.
I just admitted him.
Okay, he said he was waiting for 5 minutes.
Rebbe, maybe that's why it says Aviha, Aviha, when it because to let us know that it's about her father and not her husband.
Right, we're going to get to this, yeah. Okay, Nachum, you with us? I can't hear, but you're on mute. But
Yes, Baruch Hashem, I'm here.
okay.
Here for the delay.
So I'll call upon him. So we see that somebody who essentially is born into kahuna and therefore can eat truma, but if they go and marry somebody who's not a kohen, even though there's absolutely no issa whatsoever, she's perfectly mutter to marry whoever she likes, a Levi or a Yisrael, but she loses, at least temporarily, her kohen status. Now let's come back to our Gemara. Again, what was the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question was, why would I have thought that a bas kohen who marries a Levi or a Yisrael, why would I have thought that the halachas of a bas kohen committing znus do not apply to her? Why would I have thought that? Who in the world cares who she's married to? At the end of the day, she's a bas kohen. And if she's a bas kohen, then all the halachas of a bas kohen should apply. So the Gemara explains, the last word on the line. Sal kedat chamina, because I would have thought the following. It says in the Torah, ki seichel liznois. Ki, so this, remember, this is the whole pasuk that we've been dealing with the whole time, which is a pasuk in Parshas Emor, and it says, ubask ish koyen ki seichel liznois. Now, what does ki seichel? Seichel, as we've already explained, is the lashon of chilul. She has profaned. How has she profaned her father's home? By committing this terrible avir. Says the Gemara. Do you know how I might have understood that pasuk? Kisei liznois, quote unquote, Omer Rachmona, the Torah says. So I would have thought, do you know what that means? Hani mili, that only applies Heicha de komaschela hashta. I would have thought that only applies when she's become profaned now. This act profaned her. This act stripped her of her kuna. So I would have thought that's what the Torah is referring to. Avol ha. But in the other cases where she's married a non-koyein, given the komaschala v'kayma me'ikara, because she has, as it were, already been profaned from the outset. What does that mean? She's been profaned, not in a negative context. Like we said, she hasn't been over an avera, but she's been stripped of her koyein status, like we said before, as the Gemara is about to explain. So I would have thought that when the Torah says kisei liznos, that means a woman, a bas koyein, who commits znus and thus becomes profaned, as opposed to a woman, a bas koyein, who's profaned anyway long before this story. So therefore, I would have been excused for thinking that a bas koyein who married, for example, a Yisrael, so she's been profaned from her kahuna, again, not as a punishment, nothing negative about it, but she's lost her kahuna status because she's now married a Yisrael. So therefore, this act of zanus, as it were, has not profaned her. She's profaned anyway. And I would have therefore thought that therefore they're not a subject to the parsha of Sreifa. And the Gemara explains, Domar Mar, because we have the following statement. Ubas koyein, it's all a pasuk. Ki tiyeh le'ish zar. A bas koyein who marries a foreign person. Now, what does it mean, a foreign person? Again, she's a bas koyein. What does it mean she marries a foreign person? So, as we've been discussing, there's two possibilities. Either it's a foreign person because it was an avera, she married a mumsel or something. Or it was a foreign person, even if it was not an Avera, rather it was a Levi or Yisrael, but nonetheless, she loses her current status. Says the Gemara, Ubas koyein ki tiel ish zar, given sheniv'alo, as soon as she ever has relations, l'posel lo, to a man who is posel, a man that she's not allowed to be married to, Pasla, he has pasled her. What does that mean? Pasla, he has profaned her from ever eating truma again. Even if this husband dies and she goes back to the father's home, but she's become posel forever by virtue of the fact that she had relations with a posel. Number one. Number two, says the Gemara of Levi v'Yisrael Nami. Even a Levi and a Yisrael, like we said, there's nothing wrong with a bas koyein marrying a Levi and Yisrael. But nonetheless, it says, Veshava el beis aviha kin ureha. It says that if the husband dies, she returns back to her father's home like she did in her youth. What does that imply? Miklal, so we can induce from there, the ki isa gabe, that when she was with the husband before she went back home, she would not be allowed to eat truma. Therefore, Eima, maybe I would have been excused for thinking loy tidoin. So maybe she shouldn't get sreifa komashmalon. So again, let's explain this because it's a little bit complicated. A regular bas koyin. There are two sets of circumstances through which, based upon marriage, she cannot now eat truma. What are those two circumstances? If she marries a Kohen, that we've already explained. Obviously, she can carry on eating truma. Not because she's the daughter of the Kohen, but because she's now the wife of the Kohen. But if she marries somebody else, now what does somebody else mean? Somebody else can mean one of two things. Either she married somebody osa, like a mamza, or a goy, or a cholol, or a nosin. In all of those cases, it was a forbidden marriage, and she becomes posel from eating truma forever. That means even if the husband would disappear, meaning divorce her or die, and she goes back to her father's home, it's too bad she cannot eat truma. Why not? Because she's become profaned. Case number one. Case number two, even when she does not become profaned forever, for example, she marries somebody that's permitted. What's the case of marrying somebody who's permitted, i.e., she marries a Yisrael or a Levi? Nothing wrong with that. But the Torah clearly says that if the husband dies, she goes back to her father's home and she can once again eat truma, with a clear implication being that while she was married to Yisrael, she cannot eat truma. She was married to a Levi, she cannot eat truma. It's not forever, like it would be if she married a mamza, for example, but at least temporarily she has been stripped of her Kohen status. She might get it back if the husband divorces her or dies, because then she goes to her original father's home and she can start eating truma again. Either way, says the Gemara, what's the common denominator between these two cases? The common denominator between these two cases is, despite the fact she's a bas kohen, she cannot eat truma. In one case, it's forever. In one case, it's temporarily. But either way, she cannot eat truma. So, to an extent, she has been profaned from her kahuna. Not as a punishment, but she has been stripped of her kahuna status. So, now let's come back to the Znus parasha. The Torah writes, a bas kohen ki seichel liznois, who becomes profaned through Znus. So, I would have been excused for thinking that only applies if she becomes profaned through znus. But if she's been profaned anyway, long before the znus, based on the fact that she's married a non-kohen, so you cannot say now that the znus profaned her because she was profaned anyway. She had anyway been stripped of her kohen status. And if that's the case, maybe that is not subject to the whole Sreifa parasha. Komashmalon. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me actually she is Bas Ish Kohen. So again, what was the Gemara's question? What was the Gemara's answer? The question was, why do I need a pasuk? Why would I have thought that if she marries, for example, a Yisrael, that she should not be subject to the Sreifa punishment? Why would I have thought that? After all, she's a daughter of a Kohen. That was the question. The answer is, it's true she's a daughter of a Kohen, but you see in Hilchos Truma that to an extent she's been stripped of her Kohen status. And if she's been stripped of a Kohen status, you cannot say now that the Znus is now Mechalel her, because she was anyway nischalo. 25 years ago, she was nischalo. When she married her husband, a Yisrael, she became profaned of her kahuna because she cannot eat truma. And maybe the Torah is clearly hinting to the fact that it only applies in a case where the znus took away her kohen status. So therefore, I would have thought, what's that referring to? Only when a bas kohen married a kohen. So until this point, she was a fully fledged Kohenes. The Znus messed her up. That is what the Torah is referring to. Ki seichel liznos, when the Znus messes her up. When she's messed up anyway, meaning she's long been profaned from her kahuna, whether in forbidden circumstances or permissible circumstances, all irrelevant. But the bottom line is she's been profaned from her kahuna. I would have thought that's not subject to this parasha, because the Torah is clearly referring to ki seichel liznois, meaning when the znus was mechalala. So don't tell me that I don't need an extra word. I do need an extra word. That's why I need the extra word ish to tell me that actually, even though she's been previously stripped of her Kohen status, at least with regard to the Truma, it doesn't matter. As long as her father is a Kohen, anybody, any woman whose father is a Kohen gets the Sreifa for punishment for Znus. Have a look at Rashi. But yes, right.
Two questions. First of all, does an arusa married to a kohen, she gets the ituma as an arusa already, or she has to be in a suwa?
Yeah, it's a whole complicated subject. It's a bit irrelevant because mamonoshech, if she's not considered married to him, then she can still eat from her father's home. So either way, she
no.
Can
but if she's a yisrael, that's the whole point. That if this is about the ability to eat truma because she's married to a kohen,
well,
right?
Right. So arusa to yisrael cannot eat truma anymore.
An arusa, no. What I'm saying, but let's say a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen. When she's an arusa, can she eat truma?
I think she can. Kinyan kasper.
Okay, so therefore, the real Indian should be that an isha Kohen, the wife of a Kohen, should get sreifa if she's chalzar. Because if we're going to switch this now away from Bas Kohen and make it about the fact that she can eat truma. Huh?
We're not switching away.
No, we're evaluating and saying that with the Bas Kohen, the Havamina is if she's married to a Kohen, then she eats truma and this and that. So that therefore that you know that that then that she should get sreifa for it
because
she's
no, not because she eats truma, not because she eats truma. Because she hasn't yet been profaned from her kahuna. It's not dependent on eating truma. If a bas kohen marries a kohen, then her kahuna has never been tampered with. So then we can apply the regular halacha of bas kohen. I can't apply it to wife of a kohen. The Torah doesn't talk about wife of a kohen.
What about a bas Yisrael that marries a kohen? Does she get sreifa if she's a...
No, she's not a bas kohen. The Torah only says a sreifa for a bas kohen. Nobody else in the world. Just the discussion over here is, what now profaned her? Did the znus profane her? That's a simple understanding in the pasuk. Or was she profaned anyway? Why was she profaned anyway? Because she's married a non-Kohen, so she can't eat truma. We're not saying that the sreifa depends on truma. We're saying the sreifa depends on whether she's been profaned from her previous kuna status. Have a look at Rashi on the first very wide line. Kisei Lizna, this is a quote from the pasuk. Keshehi mischaleles, when she becomes profaned al yedei znus, through znus, comma. That's when the Torah is referring. That's when the Torah says that she gets this terrible srifa punishment. But vazu. But this woman who's married a Yisrael or a Levi or anybody else that matter, nischala lo kvar, she is already profaned. The znus didn't profane her. The znus is not what tampered with her Kohen status. It's the fact that she married a Yisrael. Al yedei nisuin, by virtue of the fact that she got married, it's the marriage that profaned her kuna. Shenis is because she married lecholol, lenosin, lamamzer, all of those cases, nischalala min ha-truma. She's profaned from truma. Afilu yomus v'zera ein lo. We forgot to add a halacha previously, and that is, when a bas kohen marries a yisrael, as we said, she cannot eat truma, but if the husband dies, then she goes back to her previous father's home and she can eat truma. That's only depending on if she has no children. Vezera imla. But if she has children, then the children, as it were, retain her connection to her husband. Says Rashi, not so in the case when she was involved in a forbidden marriage. Afilu yomos, even if the husband were to die, vezera imla, and there are no children, doesn't matter, makes no difference, she's been profaned. Loi toshuv oid, she never returns again el base of viho kimureho. She does not return back to her father's home like in her childhood. V'nifseles nami min ha-kahuna. As it happens, she's also totally profaned from kahuna. She's never allowed to marry a kohen either. V'kula everything is learned in Yevamos. Have a look there. So, like we said, it can happen in two cases. Either l'posel law, says Rashi. If she married somebody that was posel to her, could go nosin or mamza, is posel, oilamis. So she becomes forever disqualified for trum truma, forever. Irrespective now of what happens to her marriage. Posel oilamis mitruma umikohuna. Now, miss out the rest of this Rashi for the moment. Go to the next Rashi. Lelevi v'Yisrael nami. Even if she married somebody who was not forbidden to her. So Lelevi and Yisrael, af al pi she'enoi mechuleles oilamis, quote, underline, even though she's not profaned forever, because she was not involved in an issa marriage. And if her husband dies and there's no children, she will go back to her father's home. But at least for the moment, nonetheless, miu kol yemei chayov, but at least as long as the husband is alive, then mechuleles min ha-tshuma. Well, then she is profaned from tshuma, because ksiv, as it says, v'shavo, etc., that she goes back to the father's house to eat tshuma, meaning until now not. So again, we have two cases in which the Bas Kohen cannot eat Truma. Either she was married to somebody forbidden, in which case she becomes disqualified forever, or even if she married somebody that she was allowed to marry, Yisrael or Levi, which is not disqualified forever, but at least temporarily she is. So either way, we cannot say that the Znus is being mechalel her. It's not the znus that's profaning her from a kunah. She's profaned anyway. And maybe that's not what the Torah is referring to. And that's why I need an extra pasuk to tell me that no, as long as she's a bas kohen, even if she's already profaned from her kahuna by virtue of the fact that she was married to a non-kohen, she still gets srefa. So now we've explained that part of the braisa. However, it's not so poshut. What are we saying in summary? But listen very carefully. We've actually just said something very, very profound. A bas kohen is, as we call her, a kohenes. Now, imagine she marries, let's say, a Yisrael or a Levi, or worse still, she marries a mamza. So she's been profaned from her kahuna. She cannot eat truma, either forever or temporarily, but at least at the moment, she's been profaned from her truma. She's been profaned from her truma. Fine. What are we saying? That nonetheless, we still treat her as a bas kohen with regard to the sreifa. That's what we're learning. So we're learning a very, very profound concept that she sort of has a halfway status. On the one hand, we're not giving her kahuna status with regard to truma. On the other hand, we are giving her kahuna status with regard to znus. Because at the end of the day, she's a daughter of a kohen, even though she's actually now disconnected from him because she's married to somebody else. And you see that she's lost her kuna status, she doesn't need truma, but she still retains, as it were, a little bit of that kuna status, at least with regard to znus. So now, look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Udaloi Karabi Meir. That does not follow the opinion of Reb Meir. Now we need to make another little introduction. It's a very, very complicated Gemara, but if we take it stage by stage, I hope you notice we're going slowly, as slow as we can, because we've got to keep every stage clear. What's the halacha? As mentioned, a kohen is the only one who's allowed to eat truma plus his family members. If a non-kohen, everybody here on the show this morning is a non-kohen. In fact, we don't even have a Levi in the house either. Larry, you're not a Levi. No. Okay, so we're all Yisrael. If a Yisrael would eat truma, so the halacha is he needs to pay a keren v'chomesh. Keren means the capital plus a chomesh plus an extra fifth. It's all discussion how you calculate that. Is it a quarter? Is it a fifth? But for our purposes, we're calling it a chomesh. If it's done b'mezid, well, then there's. Yeah, sorry. That's the halacha. So that's the halacha. If somebody eats truma, keren v'chomesh, keren v'chomesh. Now, why do they have to pay a keren? Why do they have to pay a chomesh? The keren and the chomesh is two separate issues. The keren they have to eat because it's just not theirs to eat. It's like a type of gezel. This is not your property. Even if the Kohen in theory would give it to the Yisrael, it's not your property, it's out of bounds. The Torah has not allowed you to eat this. The Chomesh is obviously the penalty. So the Keren, the capital, is like a type of gezel. The penalty is because what are you doing eating Truma when you're a non-Kohen? So now here comes the big question. A Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael. Okay, perfectly permissible. Is she allowed to eat truma? Absolutely not. And if she does eat truma, she definitely has to pay the keren. Reb Meir is mechadesh that she does not have to pay the chomesh. Have a look at the Gemara. Udaloi Rabbi Meir, the Tanya. Because Reb Meir has said in a braisa bas. Koyein shenissus li Yisrael. A bas koyein who married Yisrael. The ochla truman, she ate truma, meshalemes es hakeren. Ve'eino meshalemes es hachoimesh. But she does not pay the choimesh. Umisoso b'sreifa. If she commits znus, she gets sreifa. Now, why is she not paying the chomesh? She's not allowed to eat truma. So clearly, Reb Meir is telling you that what? That even though technically it's true, she's not allowed to eat truma, but we don't penalize her because she's still, to an extent, connected to truma. How is she connected to truma? Because if her husband dies, she goes straight home and she needs truma. So she has not essentially been profaned from her kahuna at all. Technically, she can't eat truma, that's all. That's true. But has she retains the kohen status and therefore she doesn't pay a chomesh. This, of course, has big ramifications for what we just said a moment ago. Because we just said that a bas kohen who marries a Yisrael is profaned from her kahuna. But you see, according to Reb Meir, that she's essentially not profane from her kohuna. So this is a complicated sugya. There's going to be big machlokes about it. Miss Hashem, we'll see more about this tomorrow.
Good.
Okay, be well, everybody.
Rebbe, what do you have to say about what I said earlier about why it says Aviha to tell us it's about the father?
Okay, we'll come to this. We'll come to this. We'll come to this. We'll come to this.